This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Happy New Year, everybody. It's Jim Inman and David Pillar, the first show of 2015. Hard to believe that another year has come and gone, Mr. Pillar.
They just fly by anymore, Jim. We've always heard for how long. And once you get older, the time's just going
to
fly.
I always thought that was just a line of bull, to
be
honest with you.
100%
true. And it is absolutely 100% true. I mean, we just knocked out year two of the show. You've been doing this for a year and a half plus.
Yeah.
Okay. And, time is just
surprised you don't have a more accurate countdown of that.
You know, if I switched phones, I haven't got all my contacts and dates updated and things like that, so...
It's like a prison sentence for you. How much longer is this over? You know, you're serving your time with me and then...
No. Oh, not okay. That at all. I thought the prison sentence was the new phone because it's been driving me a little bit up the wall, but that's all right. There's worse things in the
big
world.
Big year, 2014. You were a big award winner here locally. So
It was nice. Very nice. Appreciate your contribution for that.
Just a great year, I think, for the Bloomington Review and just a good year overall.
You had a nice year yourself.
It's been a great year. Certainly no complaints about 2014. It will go down as one of the better ones for sure.
Yep. Well, we are actually being straight up and honest with everybody that it's really not 2015 yet where we're as you're hearing this show because we're doing this on Wednesday, the last day of 2014.
Yeah, we are. We could not get a guest, believe it or not, on the holiday weekend.
Who wouldn't want to come out on New Year's?
Yeah, and Jim and I were going to be doing some traveling and some other family-type things.
Right.
And so with all that going on, we just thought we'd get you a little bit of radio love here. So we've got a really nice interview that we did earlier this year. So, again, we've talked before, Jim. How challenging is it to come up with a best of show when pretty much every show is the best of? We give you the best we've got every Friday afternoon, Friday evening, and Saturday morning. But Ron Jensen, Dr. Jensen, a great friend of the show's and the president and the director of the Teachers Warehouse right now, which is a Rotary Club funded program that supports public school teachers in Brown County, Monroe County, but also Brown County, Owen County. Lawrence County and Greene County, a place where K-8 teachers can come and get free supplies for their classrooms, located right over across from Reverend Butler Park near Fairview School.
Mm-hmm.
It is a great organization that I've been privileged to be a part of for the last couple of years. And Dr. Jensen came in and told us a little bit about that and how you can help. And as we are getting ready to get back into the swing of things with school, with most every school starting Monday, at least MCCSC, RBB, both going back on Monday, January 5th, Jim. That will be it's time where teachers are starting the second semester, and they always need new stuff. And so Teachers Warehouse is a place where they can go get it. And as you're doing that winter cleaning, as you may have gotten new presents, new gifts over the holiday season, if you're done with an old
projector
fill in the blank,
or whatever.
If you're done with an old fill in the blank, Jim, because truly – most everything, as long as it's reasonably recent, we don't want history books and maps that only have 48 states, those sorts of things like that. But if you've got new markers, new crayons, new things like that, or a big thing I saw this year, a lot of kids were talking about making donations with their holiday money. We've seen some kids on Facebook mm-hmm. and in the news that have made donations to Riley. A couple of nice news stories on some of the major networks about kids helping out their other friends that didn't have as many opportunities around the holidays. Those things are coming up. So just think about the Teachers Warehouse as a possible landing spot for your donations as we kick off this new year and this new semester for our local schools. And Dr. Jensen will tell us all about it.
It's very unfortunate. I'm sure there's a substitute these days. When you and I were kids and you had when you saw the cart with the film projector on it in the old school,
yes.
You put the cassette in and the person would talk for 20, 30 seconds and you... Beep.
Yep.
And you were the kid who got to flip and advance the film strip.
Yep. Click the button or whatever it was.
I mean,
great.
Kids today, now they just go up and press the computer screen or the DVD player. And
sometimes, Jim, I feel like you and me, especially you sometimes, were born
it's
a little too
me.
Late.
I know.
You know,
I think
you're an old soul.
I completely agree with that. If you're catching us on Friday night for the show, we do not have any high school basketball this evening. However, there is a game on Saturday night this week.
Yes, Saturday is a big sports day here at WGCL, so you can tune in live on WGCL radio for the basketball game, if you can't hear it. But we have an NFL football playoff game this afternoon that we're going to be carrying, if you're with us here on Saturday. Noon pregame, 1 o'clock kickoff, Carolina Panthers, Arizona Cardinals, and then basketball Saturday night, 7 o'clock Chalk Talk with Joe Smith and Coach J.R. Holmes from Bloomington South, as the Panthers will host the Millers of Noblesville High School for some boys basketball here on January 3rd.
And we'll have more in sports later on as we wrap up the week and what's going on the Colt scene as we get into playoffs now and all of that, as well as on the high school basketball and IU and everything like that. So updates on sports, updates on news here in just a little bit as well, but an encore replay of our interview with Dr. Ron. I always mispronounce Jensen or Jansen?
Jensen.
Jensen, yep. I apologize. Dr. Ron Jensen from Teacher's Warehouse in just a little bit. Quickly before we go, good Christmas.
Great Christmas, yep.
Traveled safe, everybody's good, everybody's happy.
Yep, we got everywhere we needed to be, and it was a good time.
Any surprises under the tree for you this year?
You know what, I believe, as I've said numerous times, that I was absolutely on the nice list, firmly entrenched on the nice list, and just nice stuff.
Good.
Just nice stuff. As if we need more stuff,
right.
At least the stuff I got was really nice. My parents came up big, and obviously Kelly came up big, too. So everyone was very, very kind.
We did a white elephant exchange at my grandmother's this year. And I came home with a 16-pack or 20-pack of Vienna sausages.
Nice. Were they each wrapped individually?
It's all in a case.
Oh, okay. Well,
so they're
I know how you like
cans.
Your individual wrapping.
Well, it was, yes. But this was, since it was white elephant, and they will actually be good doggy treats is what I'm expecting.
Cool.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's get you an update of the best, top, most important, key, whatever you want to call them, the top stories of 2014 in Bloomington and Monroe County. And then we'll give you a sports update in just a little bit as well. Stay with us, facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview, and we're streaming online, WGCLRadio.com as well. We'll be back here on The Bloomington Review. Welcome back to The Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and David Piller here on the first show of 2015. A little bit of a best of, a little bit of a wrap-up of all the excitement that took place over the last year in Bloomington and Monroe County. But first, your forecast for the first weekend of 2015.
Jim, if you were with us on Friday night, a chance of rain, freezing rain and sleet after 1 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 30. Saturday, rain, chances between 80 and 100% of precipitation. Rain, it's going to rain all day. The high is going to be 41. Saturday night, rain and snow, likely mostly cloudy with a low around 29. And then Sunday, still a chance of precipitation, 20 to 40% chance of some light snow showers, partly sunny, with a high near 33. Of course, when you get to this time of year, Jim, we're talking about cold weather, bad weather, road issues, school closings, there's no better place than WGCLRadio.com for all your weather and all your news all the time.
That is exactly right. And, of course, WGCLRadio.com, if you miss any part of the show, you can head over there, click on the local shows link, and catch up to not only the Bloomington Review, but also In the Zone, Your Money with David Hayes. You can catch up on Joe Smith Reports and catch up as well and listen in to your favorite high school sports games here in the community. So the HT on New Year's Eve had an article in the paper about the top 10 news stories of Monroe County and Bloomington for 2014. And Mr. Piller and I thought, what better way to wrap up the year than highlight some of these top stories,
yeah,
if you will.
Local stuff.
You want to go from bottom up, or how do you want
bottom
to do this?
Bottom up, Jim. That's how you got to do
it. I'll let you go first then, sir.
Number 10, then, is the changes in Monroe County government. It was announced in mid-November that Mark Krizan would not run for mayor in 2015. And also, the city clerk, Regina Moore, also announced that she would not be running for a fifth consecutive term as city clerk. So we're going to have some new faces, Jim, in over the showers building.
Yep.
You going to be mayor?
I've been asked, but it's not an ask situation. They have to like run and be political and stuff. So I doubt I think I'd do anything. Number 9 on the list, IU women's basketball coach Kurt Miller quit his position in July for personal reasons, although they were unspecified. It was shocking since the Hoosiers had a previously great season. They had a school record tying 21 wins and an appearance in the WNIT quarterfinals. And really, there has never been an update as to the reason behind where Kurt Miller is, but we wish him all the best in his future endeavors.
Yeah, number eight was everything that happened at Fairview Elementary School this year. This time last year, a new plan to work on student improvement through reading and class groupings and organization was rolled out. Parents protested. The plan was scrapped. And over the summer, the school did, of course, get another F grade from the state accountability ranking. It's their third in a row. But positive news for Fairview on the upswing is that they've welcomed new principal Dr. Justin Hunter. And overall, they've had a lot of really fruitful and beneficial discussions with parents and local community members and some volunteer groups about how they can continue to support the work that's going on at Fairview Elementary School.
Number seven on the list from the Herald Times top 20 or top stories of 2014, a very scary story of the break-in and assault that took place in November. Authorities say two men from Indianapolis, two teenagers, broke into an apartment complex or apartment of three female IU students who did not know these two men, and the women were assaulted there. Police arrived, gunshots exchanged, and both suspects received non-life-threatening wounds. A third teen was arrested nearby, and charges against the three are still pending.
Number six, Jim, six members of the Indiana University men's basketball team made the news for kind of the wrong reasons this year. Drunken driving, and trying to enter a bar underage, failed drug tests, and then the car accident kind of put Hunter Mascara Perea, Stan Robinson, Troy Williams, Yogi Ferrell, Devin Davis, and Emmett Holt all in the paper and all in the news media for the wrong stuff. Up to this point, Coach Crean and the Hoosiers have weathered the storm. Again, because we're recording this early, we don't know how they did against Nebraska in the game on Wednesday night. We've got a game at Michigan State this weekend, so we'll see how the Hoosiers do with two tough road games in a row to start the Big Ten season. But you know what? 10-3 non-conference losses to Louisville, Georgetown, Eastern Washington. Eastern Washington, a little bit of a surprise. Maybe people might have thought Butler instead. But 10-3 is probably pretty close to what people thought this team might be. And that's not a terrible record considering the start of the season was a little cloudy.
Right. Number five on the list, some it is a distant memory, others it will never be forgotten. The winter of 2013 going into 2014 across central Indiana, across the Midwest, bitter cold, snowfall after snowfall. Remember propane fuel pricing, the budget expenses for cleaning up the streets, school delays and shutdowns and things like that. Winter last year, 2013-14, will go down in history as not a favorite for most people, but it was great for the sledding business.
Yeah. Number four, the I-69 and everything that's going on with I-69, Jim, the arguing over the finances, the argument over the timeline on these other sections. What are they going to do once they get north of Martinsville and into Marion County and some of the problems they've had there? But I will tell you this. I went to Vincennes earlier this week for a basketball tournament, Jim, and I-69 is pretty amazing. And if you've not had a chance to get down into that part of the state, you should just see the amount of earth that's being moved around and the progress that's being made. It is pretty incredible.
Number three on the list, before we take our break, the Bloomington City Council in April approved an ordinance allowing hired sharpshooters to kill deer at Griffey Lake Nature Preserve. This had come after more than 2 years from a task force of research and recommendations and things. Mayor Kruzan vetoed the ordinance. Then supporters said there was a clear evidence of habitat destruction and on and on and on and on. And residents opposed to the cull still appear regularly at city council meetings to lobby for a stop to the cull in favor of non-lethal controls such as contraception or sterilization of deer. Oh, dear, is the simple statement to that problem. Number two, set in concrete. A lot of people heard about this one as city employee Justin Wyckoff. Two other men were arrested by federal authorities in March and accused of bilking the city of Bloomington for an estimated $800,000, falsifying claims for concrete work that was never done. The case against Wyckoff and Roger and Zachary Harden, who are a father and son duo behind Reliable Concrete and Construction of Bedford, still pending in federal court, multiple counts against all three men there.
And number one, in local in Bloomington, as far as the news goes, was gay marriage obviously all across the state of Indiana, but here in Bloomington as well. On June 25th, U.S. District Judge Richard Young ruled that the state's ban was unconstitutional in the 3 days before the U.S. Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals issued a stay of the order. Hundreds of same-sex couples obtained marriage licenses from county clerk's offices, including Monroe County. So, again, a big year of news. All this stuff came from the Herald Times. So, Herald Times Online, you can go back and check out those things and maybe a couple of the others that receive votes. But a big year of news, Jim, here in Bloomington.
And
looking for more stuff that'll be exciting and newsworthy next year.
Coming up next, an interview with Dr. Ron Jensen from Teachers Warehouse. And a lot of good information about a wonderful organization that supports our educators, not just in Monroe County, but
Brown County, Owen County, Greene County, and Lawrence County as well.
All right, so stay with us. Then we'll get you an update on local sports here in a little bit. We'll be back on the Bloomington Review. You're listening to an encore replay of the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and David Pillar joining you on your Friday night. Thanks so much for tuning in to the show. I'm very excited to have a first-time guest to the program, as we have been talking about over the last couple of weeks. School is starting back up. The calendar's changing a little bit. Actually, I think some of the is it Indianapolis or was it northern part of the state actually had students going back
part of the week,
in July?
Franklin Township went. I think Washington Township went. So some of the Indianapolis Township schools are already back at it, Jim, and we're getting loose. We did our stretching here the last couple of days with the teachers, get everyone ready to go. Rooms are put together and orientations have been had, and we're just ready to hit it on Monday morning. So it's exciting times for all of Monroe County.
Well, Mr. Pillar has been able to coordinate our guest here tonight, who is a first-timer, as we mentioned, and part of a wonderful organization in Bloomington to benefit not just the kids in the community, but actually the teachers and educators, and not just actually in Monroe County as well. So, Mr. Pillar, I'm going to let you do the
big thing. Into the sick bank regularly here at WGCL, but I like to think I make up for it with the quality of guests that I bring you. We've had Brian Muehlhouse, we've had Kelly Smith, and we've had Tim Noble and so many other wonderful folks that we've brought on, and I think I've hit another home
you
run
have.
For you. So
you have.
Dr. Ron Jensen's with us tonight, and I had the pleasure of meeting Ron several years back when MCCSC was working through the referendum and got to could work a little bit with Ron and another good friend, Dr. Larry Campbell, and Harmon Baldwin was a part of that group as well. So so I got to meet Ron and learn about his background in education. And then we have a mutual acquaintance, his through Rotary, mine through teaching, and that's former Monroe County Circuit Court Judge Randy Bridges. And Randy showed up one day at school, and he said, I need a favor. And when the judge asks for a favor, you do what he says. And I said, yes, Judge, what can I do for you? He said, I'd like you to consider being on the board at Teacher Warehouse. And I was familiar with Teacher's Warehouse, but I'm very excited to find out about this wonderful organization that I've had the pleasure of being on the board for the last 2 years. And Ron has been a critical part of that. So Dr. Ron Jensen's here with us tonight, and he's going to tell everyone with school starting about this wonderful little treasure we have here in Bloomington up near Fairview School and the old Aurora School that is Teachers Warehouse and how it all came about. So, Ron, thanks so much for giving up some of your time with us tonight and excited to have you share a little bit about this great organization with our friends and listeners.
Well, David, I'm very happy to be with you and Jim this evening and share on a subject that is very near and dear to my heart as a former teacher myself. I taught for several years in Illinois after having grown up in Wisconsin. And then I moved on to the Michigan Education Association, and from there came down to Indiana to serve as the executive director of the Indiana State Teachers Association, and wound up in Bloomington to finish up my doctorate in education, and got involved with a variety of activities, including Teachers Warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was suggesting, Teachers Warehouse that we have here in town is modeled after one that operates out of Cincinnati. We like to refer to it as a store without a cash register, because the teachers can come in from all of the counties around and pick out supplies for their classrooms at no cost to them.
So when we talk about the supplies, Ron, are you talking everything from the basics of pens and pencils and paper to electronics, or what would somebody find if they went in a teacher's warehouse?
You name it, you'll probably find
it's there. Okay.
And literally what we've learned over the 10 years that we've been in existence is what quote-unquote sells and what doesn't. There are certain circumstances where we have received gifts and donations that for one reason or another did not meet the test of time.
Sure.
And so we have to adjust our inventory accordingly. But yes, we're talking everything, pens. One of the volunteers estimated the other day that Teacher's Warehouse can go through 15 to 16,000 number two pencils in the course of a year.
Oh, my word.
And we hear from teachers how much more difficult it is to get hold of those supplies that they used to get from their school corporations.
Sure.
Sure. Well, we'll talk a little bit of history first to get started, and then we'll kind of get people caught up on where we are and what we do and who we serve. But, Ron, this was a project for the centennial celebration for the Rotary Club. Is that correct?
Right. Rotary International celebrated its centennial in 2005, excuse me. And the creation of Teacher's Warehouse was the project that our local groups decided to embark on. And Judy and Lee Witt were very strong in getting us started on that and were the chief architects. But the Rotary Clubs have banded together and now take on responsibility for general oversight, providing volunteers, providing money, and keeping things going.
Sure. So the four Rotary Clubs in Bloomington.
Three
in Bloomington. And then also the neat thing also about this, Jim, is not only do we support teachers in Monroe County schools and in RBB, but this extends out to Eastern school, all the schools in Eastern Greene, so Bloomfield, Eastern schools, White River Valley, Linton is also there. We support Brown County schools, Lawrence County schools, and then just recently, thanks to some efforts that Ron has undertaken himself, we've worked to include the Owen County schools in this as well. So we're drawing from five counties, and teachers run K-8 in public school classrooms.
They have to be working for a school board that was publicly elected, is the way our board has stated it.
Okay.
So,
and then, so in addition to that, we're also getting support from Rotary Clubs in all of those counties as in all of those areas as well. And I guess Rotary Clubs and the school associations and the school boards themselves. There's retired teacher groups that are supporting this.
Right.
The Rotary Clubs are obviously, as Ron said, a big support of this as well. So they have to be K-8, has to be a work for a corporation whose board is elected. And then beyond that, any other restrictions? Because believe it or not, Jim, some people still don't know about this, and new teachers that come in still don't know about this. And although we reach a lot of schools and do our best to get the word out, some people still don't know about this. So any other restrictions, Ron, that are a part of this?
Well, we do allow high school teachers, if they are dealing with special education,
okay,
to
wonderful
come in, okay? Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, at our when we opened this week on Monday, we had a shopper from a charter school who slipped through the process of screening that we had. And when we got ready to check this person out, the volunteer in charge came to me and as an officer and said, "We have a problem." But we went off to the side and talked about it, and we said it was our error, not hers.
Sure.
So we let her go ahead and take what she had picked up and move on out, and we just asked her not to come back later, and she was very fine with that.
Good.
And so the other thing about it is just to go back a little bit more, Teacher's Warehouse is located in the old Aurora School. It's an MCCSC building, so we actually rent from MCCSC. And so it's the old Aurora School building, and it is half of the building is the MCCSC health clinic. We have our own public health clinic for the school corporation employees, and then the other half of the building is Teacher's Warehouse, Ron. And what's the address for everyone so they could help track that down in case they're not familiar?
524 North Fairview Street. And the telephone number is 929-7522.
So located just west of Fairview Elementary School up on Fairview Street. So really close in that area, right across the street from Reverend Butler Park.
Well, right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to find out how people get supplies to you, the process of the teachers coming in, and how to get more community involvement and support as well. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes here on the Bloomington Review. You're listening to an encore replay of the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review, Mr. Jim Inman, Mr. David Pillar, Dr. Jensen here in the studio as well. I need to be corrected on that, Mr. Pillar.
Well, I think we know how formal we are here.
We have a formally educated individual
that's
in
right.
the room.
We're bringing culture back yet again. So, you know, we talked a little bit about Ron's background as a teacher in Illinois and then working in education systems in Michigan and then back in Indiana, but both of your daughters are teachers.
Yes, so, one in Richland Bean Blossom and one in Indianapolis.
So, again, you know, I think the whole idea that no one should be shocked that this is a project near and dear to Ron's heart, that his own experience and then, you know, obviously those of his daughters being public school teachers and their part in education, that Ron's willing to do anything to help teachers. And so I want to talk a little bit this segment about a teacher's listening right now, Ron, and they don't know kind of what the rules of Teacher's Warehouse are. And so we've got Mr. or Mrs. Teacher out there. They're a public school teacher or a teacher whose board was elected. They teach K-8 or they teach a high school class that has special needs students involved. And they want to come to Teacher's Warehouse. What are the rules? What are the ground rules when they come to the door that they have to follow to be included?
We find that many of our teachers start their contact with Teacher's Warehouse by bringing donations, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Especially retired teachers are constantly coming to the door. And it's interesting that many of the retired teachers, David, who are now volunteering, started out that way, that they by coming with a donation. They realized there was material that they had that other teachers might be able to make good use of, and said, let's take it to Teacher's Warehouse.
Well, you know, Ron, I've been out of the classroom now for 7 years, and I just moved, Jim. We talked a little bit about that. Just moved, and so Kelly's mom's an educator. But Kelly doesn't understand sometimes about all the things that teachers keep, because back when I think I was in the classroom, certainly back when you were in the classroom, we didn't have the ready use of the internet where everything was available. So we still kept books and newspaper articles and magazines. But a teacher shows up to Teacher's Warehouse, and we've got a wonderful setup of four or five different rooms where there's a library room, there's a classroom supplies room, there's a science room, there's an art room. And we're talking, Jim, full rooms. I mean, these are old classrooms because this is the old Aurora school building. So these are full classrooms, and Ron, they are filled with stuff. It's unbelievable. The inventory process is incredible, and you have a number here for us. The total value of items donated, last year alone,
$218,000.
$218,000 worth of things that are donated. And again, Jim, anything from paper supplies, copy paper, printer paper, construction paper, then over to the library section where there's books and reference materials that are recent. We do want recent reference materials if people are dropping them off.
So if I have a calendar book that has the great 48 states, you probably don't want something like that.
We need the amended version of that one.
A history teacher, perhaps.
Yes, we need the amended version.
Well, let me ask about that. Because if you have a library section, what about people who have kids who have grown up and the family no longer wants their storybooks or things like that, just books for kids to read in quiet time or whatever? Or is that something that you'd be interested in?
Yes. As a matter of fact, what we periodically have to do is to go through our inventory in all the rooms and make sure that the materials are as current as possible.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in the science and math room, we recently went through and discarded every book that was copyrighted before 2000 so that the material would be as recent and up-to-date as possible.
Uh-huh.
With those materials, though, we don't just throw them out in the dump.
Mm-hmm.
We take them to recycling. We take them to the public library, to the Red Cross. We have other outlets for materials that we can't use at the moment, but we just keep them in the stream for the community. This is a community asset.
Sure. One of the greatest things as a little kid was when you would walk into your elementary school classroom and you would see the cart with the film strip projector on there.
You knew you're in for a big day.
And you knew. And so I would almost love to have one of those things from back around 1982.
I'm sure several have been passed through the teacher's warehouse doors.
I'm sure.
So, you know, obviously we have funding available. We generate funds through course fees, through textbook fees, through taxpayer dollars that the schools do have money. That we do spend, but there is a limit, obviously, on those sorts of things. And we know, quite honestly, that teachers do spend money out of their own pockets. And that tax credit is gone now. It used to be that there was a tax credit, and it was minimal. It was the $250, I think, is what it was. And that's now been signed out, and that's no longer part of the tax code. So teachers used to have a little bit of a relief when it came to buying out of their own pockets. So now this organization, Teachers Warehouse, again, located on 524 North Fairview Street here in Bloomington, does serve Monroe County teachers, Lawrence County teachers, Owen County teachers, Greene County teachers, and Brown County teachers. So when they come to the door, Ron, we don't allow them to shop every week. We don't supply their room for the year, but we certainly supplement what their schools are doing. And so how does that work as far as how often teachers come and what are they allowed to do?
When they come in the door, the first thing is to make sure that we have all the background information that we need to where they teach, what grades they teach, et cetera, et cetera. And if they have been a previous shopper with us, they're right up front, they will have in a file folder a card of their identification and all that information. And during the process of shopping, they actually record, they each are given a basket. Like a basket that you find in a grocery store or whatever, and they can fill two of those baskets per 8-week grading period, okay? And as a matter of fact, some of the teachers that came through this week for the first week, we had 77 teachers show up on Monday.
Oh my goodness!
And I know that the rest of the week followed the same kind of a pattern.
Sure.
38 of those teachers on Monday were new shoppers. 39 were return shoppers. So you can see the balance that's coming in.
Yeah.
But they are given the basket, and they are then directed through the various rooms. A classroom, science and math, paper room, which is one of the most popular places.
Absolutely. Sure.
They can go in and take out large, large sheets of art paper, and it does not count towards their total, okay?
Wonderful.
And there are other things, even school furniture. Sometimes we've given away desks and chairs for teachers.
Lamps. All those sorts of things.
Yesterday, I helped cart out a file cabinet that had been donated to us, and a teacher said, "That's exactly what I've been looking for." Well, they can go into the art room, and they go into the library. Again, we go through the library books periodically and make sure they are up to date, and we have as one of our volunteers, the head of the Monroe County Public Library. So we have an expert who is monitoring that situation for us and making sure that we're keeping up to date with all those items.
You mentioned volunteers. If somebody is moved by this conversation tonight and hearing about this, they don't have to have an education background, correct?
That is correct.
So what is involved to be a volunteer for Teachers Warehouse?
They need to contact me or some other volunteer, and we will put them through an orientation program that'll take about an hour, and then they'll be ready to go to help as a volunteer. It is not an onerous job. You're meeting wonderful people every minute that you're there. You know you're doing a good service to help them, and you're helping all the children that you don't see, but you're working through the teachers.
And Jim, we have no paid staff members. This is entirely volunteer. So anyone that can help certainly is welcome, especially this time of year during the busiest time of year. And Teachers Warehouse runs open Monday through Thursday from 3:30 to 6:00. It's open on Saturday mornings from 9:30 to 12:30. So we take Friday off and they take Sunday off. But there's a those times are hopefully available for some people. Even if people can donate one day, if they can come in the first Wednesday of the month, every right. month, and donate 2.5 hours, that's wonderful, and that can be used. And then, Ron, also, if people want to donate other things, if they have, you know, it's garage sale season, Jim. There's going to be a big garage sale in Ellettsville, where in my new house, right off Union Valley Road. We're going to have to plug that later. A big garage sale this weekend on Union Valley Road. Get over there, folks. Buy some of my stuff. But you know, it's garage sale season. It is cleaning season. When people have things, if they do have some decent lamps, if they have good children's books like you referenced earlier,
sure.
old school supplies, bring those over to the teacher's warehouse, and we will gladly accept those donations. Of course, we'll accept monetary donations from people if they're compelled to help in that way. But we do have some operating costs for internet service, and we do pay rent to the MCCSC every month for use of that building. Mm-hmm. So it's a nice relationship with MCCSC. It's certainly we're getting a nice value for the space that we're using, but we're also providing a nice service for them. So it's a very mutually beneficial relationship. So all of those options, Ron, you know, they're all in play for people if they want to help out.
We have never turned anyone away, and we don't intend to.
There you go. And, that Jim, we're going to put all of this information up on our Facebook page, of course, which is facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. We'll get the email for Teacher's Warehouse on there. We'll get the hours of operations.
They've got a Facebook page, I found.
They do,
earlier
absolutely.
This week.
So we can link it up to that.
We'll take care of them.
We'll put the address on there and the phone number on there, because we want people to stop by and visit, see if it's something they want to help out with, see if they can donate and spend some time and some money with us.
And one thing that will be happening very soon is that we are setting up an electronic system of volunteering so that people will be able to do it from home. And then just we will read that material and know when they want to talk to us and get them in for their orientation. And it should simplify the process for everybody.
That is fantastic. What's the phone number one more time, Ron, before we head out?
Area code 812-929-7522.
You got it. All right. Thank you so much for coming in. Really do appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right. Thanks again to Ron for coming in earlier this year, back in August, and for talking about Teacher's Warehouse. We're going to take a break. When we come back, much more on the show. Stay with us right here on the Bloomington Review.
Sports.
Plenty to talk about on the local scene, even though it is off week or off month or off term or whatever you call it for local high school as well as IU. There's still some activity going on across the board on the sports scene.
Yeah, Jim, you know, we talked about it being Wednesday when we're recording this for the holiday weekend. So we don't know how the Hoosiers did against Nebraska. We don't know how the Lady Hoosiers did against Michigan State. But hopefully both of those things came in our favor, obviously, to get the Big Ten season kicked off well, or tipped off. Again, we keep going back and forth.
You are falling
analogies.
In my trap.
You have just absolutely tainted my ability to get my sports analogies right. You know, Tuesday night, we talked about this on the morning show when Keith and Rob and you and I were together. The three out of the four Big Ten basketball games played on Tuesday of this week, the road team won. Northwestern won in Rutgers. Iowa beat Ohio State in Columbus. I think the big one, Maryland beat Michigan State up in East Lansing. Michigan was the only team to hold court when they beat Illinois at home, and even that took overtime. So I bet it's going to be a pretty rowdy Big Ten season. I think you're going to see Wisconsin at the top. I think you're going to see Northwestern, maybe Rutgers at the bottom. And I think there's going to be a bunch of movement in the middle of the pack. And so we'll see how that goes for the Hoosiers. They've got these, big games, Nebraska Wednesday night, and then Michigan State on the 5th, and then Ohio State on the 10th, Penn State at home on the 13th. So we'll see how the men's basketball team gets up and running in this Big Ten season, and quite honestly, a pretty critical season for the players, for the coaching staff, for a lot going on over that program with proposed renovations coming to reality next season, supposedly as soon as possible. The women are at Purdue. That game will be on Sunday the 4th. So the Hoosier men are playing Monday night against Michigan State, kind of an odd night for them, but the women at Purdue on the 4th. Did want to clean up one thing I mentioned earlier, that the Saturday football game is actually the Panthers and the Cardinals. That game's going to be a 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock-ish, 4:30 kickoff leading into high school basketball with the Noblesville Millers coming down to Bloomington High School South to take on J.R. Holmes, Bloomington South Panthers. Chalk Talk at 7. Tip-off should be somewhere 7:30, 7:40, depending on how that JV game goes. But Friday night tonight, if you're with us on Friday night, Bloomington South traveling to Eastern Green, Brown County traveling to Bloomfield. Those are the two area games. The North Cougars taking the weekend off, probably to prep for the Panthers next weekend because they won the South Ripley Holiday Classic, defeating the Christian Academy of Indiana and several other pretty good teams in some good basketball. So the girls this week, girls basketball, wrapped up the Yoho Classic over at Eastern High School and Middle School with the host Lady Thunderbirds taking fourth place, Edgewood Lady Mustangs seventh, Lady Cougars of Bloomington North eighth, and the Brown County Lady Eagles came in at 11th. Some other big news over from IU basketball, Janae Jackson, who's been the strength and conditioning coach there for several years under Coach Crean, very active member of the staff. He's on the bench. Google him. You'll recognize his face because he's very, very demonstrative, very, very energetic, and he's a warrior in the weight room and has really made a difference. As I said on Wednesday morning, you look at Cody Zeller and you look at the strength and the muscle and the bulk that he put on. Janae was responsible for that. And Colin Hartman is one of the guys I see right now that you look out there. Hunter Mascara Perea as well. Really, really a big dude. But Janae turned that size into size and strength. So Janae will be missed, but he's going back to his roots, which is football. He's going back to Kansas, an opportunity for a program that had some historical success to get things moving back in the right direction. So, again, best of luck to Janae Jackson as he moves away from the Hoosiers back to football in Kansas. Bowl season, Jim, coming at us. Again, we don't know the results because of when we're doing the show, but if you are with us on Friday night, the second, you've got the Armed Forces Bowl was today, the Tax Slayer Bowl was today, Alamo Bowl should be on right now, Kansas State and UCLA, and the Cactus Bowl, Oklahoma State and Washington tonight, all those are on ESPN. Then Saturday we'll have the Birmingham Bowl, which will be Florida at East Carolina. Sunday is the Go Daddy Bowl, Toledo and Arkansas State. And then the 12th, that would be next Monday, not this Monday, next Monday, the 12th, the championship bowl game. You know who's in it. We don't quite yet because we're pre-recording. The Rose Bowl had Oregon and Florida State. The Sugar Bowl had Alabama and Ohio State. Jim, I'm going to go ahead and just say Oregon, Alabama. I think that's probably how it's going to end up. But we'll know if I'm the listeners will know if I'm right or whether I'm crazy. So we'll see.
All right, we'll find out here in just a minute with the weather forecast is for the weekend. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. I know it's a little bit Christmas sounding, but it's kind of powerful and the Tuba Santas kind of thing. I don't know if there's still Tuba Santas in Bloomington or not. I didn't see them this year. Hey, Jim Inman and Dave Pillar with just a couple minutes left as we wrap up the Bloomington Review. Forecast for your first weekend of 2015 is looking a little bit chilly and a little bit wet.
Jim, if you're with us on Friday night, a chance of rain, freezing rain and sleet after 1 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 30. On Saturday, rain, high near 41. Chance of precipitation is 80 to 100%. Saturday night, rain and snow, likely mostly cloudy with a low around 29. So please be careful if you're out and about. Sunday, 20% chance of snow showers, partly sunny with a high near 33. And, Jim, I'm going to go ahead and make the prediction.
Yes.
The roof is going to be closed for the Colts game on Sunday. We will have it here for you on WGCL Radio. So tune in, listen live, 12 o'clock pregame, 1 o'clock kickoff. The Bengals come to Indianapolis for the Colts.
All right, and next Monday, hard to believe, is the kickback to school. And does IU start next Monday as
IU doesn't start until the 12th.
Okay.
I don't. So they've got time. So you're going to see some people back to
14th,
do that fraternity.
12th is a Saturday.
The 12th is a Saturday? I don't think so, but I could be wrong.
The 3rd is a Saturday.
3rd is a Saturday? Yeah, the 3 plus 7 is 10,
three,
Jim.
7, 10. And that's why Mr. Pillar is the educator and I am the minister.
That's right. Jim handles the spiritual nature of the show and I handle the academic side. But, you know, it's been a great year, Jim.
Yes,
and again,
I
want to thank all of our friends. Make sure that they go to facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview to like us. Check out all the old stuff on WGCLRadio.com. But it's been a wonderful year, 2014. I'm looking forward to a great 2015. So thanks to you for being the man. Thanks to Kelly for being a great wife and my parents and everyone else that listens.
And a quick happy birthday to my friend Jana, who is not turning 40 yet. And that's all I'm saying. Have a great weekend. Happy 2015. 2015. Bye, everybody.